find our place in Psalm 145. If you'll find your place in Psalm 145 this morning, Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Okay, let's read. Follow along with your eyes while we read through Psalm 145. I'm going to read the whole psalm. I'm of the opinion that anything God has to say is infinitely more important than any comment that I'm going to make about His Word. So let us just richly soak it in. And listen to what David says in Psalm 145. I will extol Thee, my God, O King. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, excuse me, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You know, Psalm 145 teaches us the importance of praising the Lord, and it gives us a long list of reasons why he is worthy of our praise. You know, I saw someone's tie this morning that caught my eye. Actually, I saw several ties this morning that I really liked. And I praise them for their ties. They're beautiful. And my wife's hair, I don't know if you can see it from here, but the way the sun is glistening off of her hair, just absolutely radiant. And that's just wonderful. And Pastor is back in the building. Praise the Lord. He's here to listen. And I love the tie. The cool thing is his other three sons all have the same tie, even though not all three of them can wear them yet. You know, that's something to look forward to when we're here for Christmas in probably about, what, 10, 15 years? They will all be wearing the same tie. That's planning ahead. I mean, praise the Lord for the planning here. Listen, I could go around the room and praise all of you for something. Garrett is wonderful in King's Kids. He's like my right arm. He's faithful. He's there. I don't even have to ask him to do something, and he is one step ahead of me. And that's awesome. I mean, you know, we like to be praised. I could continue. We like to hear nice things said to us about us. You know, we're made in the image and likeness of God. God likes to hear us praise him. He likes to hear us bless him and bless his name. Listen, we're not always worthy of praise, but he is always worthy of our praise. Let's just pray one more time. I don't think we can pray too much. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, it's easy to get caught up and thank you for the things that you do. But Father, we want to thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. We thank you, Lord, that you want to have a personal relationship with us. So Father, as we look into your word, may we all, from the oldest to the youngest, take the next spiritual step that we need to take and step closer to you. Father, we know that is your will, that we would be more like Christ. So help us to be more like your precious Son that died on Calvary to pay for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. God is always worthy of our praise. He's always deserving of our praise. But look what David says in these first two verses. And notice how he says, I will. I will extol thee. What does that word extol mean? It basically means praise. I will praise thee, my God, O King. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. He says, I will. David made a personal commitment to praise the Lord. Each and every one of us should make a personal commitment to praise the Lord. We need to make a commitment to praise. Listen, I made a commitment to my wife 27 years ago this April. April 22nd, 1989, I made a commitment to her to forsake all others. For richer, for poorer, for sickness, in health. I don't remember the rest, but I made a commitment. And I know that many of you made it a commitment. Listen, we get up every day, many of us, and we go to work. And we made a commitment to our employer to be there when we're supposed to be there, to put in a full day's work. We made a commitment to our employer. Listen, when you joined this church, you read the Constitution, and you made a commitment to this church, and you made a commitment to each and every member of this church. And if you look at the covenant, which is section 2.03 in this Constitution, that's the commitment that we made to each other, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ought to read it. We made a commitment. Listen, a lot of people are afraid of making commitments, but we must make a commitment to praise the Lord. Every child of God should make a lifetime commitment to praise the Lord. Listen, many times we are overly controlled by our circumstances. Our circumstances rise and fall, but our circumstances should not affect our commitment to praise the Lord. Listen, many times our circumstances are not very inspiring. Needless to say, these are inspiring words, and we can make a commitment to praise Him. You have to remember all the things. The last time I was with you, I mentioned that Jesus, just hours before the cross, gave thanks as He broke bread and shared the wine with the disciples. He gave thanks. He praised the Lord, and He knew what was coming. He's our example. We're to be like Christ. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. They should not change this commitment. We do what we want to do. When it all comes down to it, we do what we want to do. We do what's important to us. Regardless of what our list says, we do what's important to us. What's important to us is what gets done. And you may have a list as long as my arm, and you may lay in bed all day and not get anything done on that list. Can you tell I have teenagers? Okay, that's what's important to you, is what you've got done. Because we make time to get done what we want to get done. Listen, you've heard this before. You've heard it from Pastor Camp. You've heard it from Pastor Davidson. We choose to do what we want to do. It's our choice. I can't make that choice for you, and you can't make that choice for me, but we can either choose to praise or we can choose to pout. We can focus on what's going wrong in our lives and pout, or we can look at the blessings and praise God. Which is it going to be? It's your choice. Choose your choice. This decision to praise the Lord should be a lifelong commitment, every day, in every way, for the rest of my days, and then thereafter, I will praise the Lord. What do you think we're going to be doing when we are in heaven? We will be praising the Lord. Hey, we can get started here right now. We are commanded. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." That sounds like a great, that'd be a great song, wouldn't it? I'm not going to sing for you this morning. My voice is losing me. Okay, we need to make a commitment. Will you make a commitment? No matter what your circumstances are. Listen, I'm preaching to myself here this morning. In verses 3 through 17, David gives us some reasons to praise the Lord. Check him out with me. Verse number 3, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." We can praise the Lord because He's great. He is unsearchable. We can be studying Him for all of eternity and never get to the end of His awesomeness. We can praise Him because He is great. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse number 4, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." Here's another reason to praise the Lord, because those that are younger than you need to hear you praise the Lord. Let's read some more. "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." Listen, that word "terrible" is one word that has changed in meaning from Bible times to now. Terrible today is a bad word, okay? If something terrible happens, that's not a good thing. in Bible times, if something terrible happened, it was awesome. It was awesome. So I can just as easily say, men shall speak of the might of thy awesome acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. How many of you are raising small children? Raise your hand. How many of you are raising teenagers? Raise your hand. How many of you are teaching a Sunday school class or a King's Kids class of any age? Raise your hand. How many of you have grandchildren that you're taking care of or that you see on a regular basis? Both my hands are down, staying down for a long time. How about great-grandchildren? How many of you have great-grandchildren? Okay, we have several ladies in here. Brother, why is your hand not raised?
I didn't hear what you said.
I will try and speak a little louder for you, Brother Smith. Listen, many of us have children, many of us have grandchildren, many of us have great-grandchildren, many of us teach little children, and they need to hear us praising the Lord. More is caught than is taught. They will do what you do. I have, for years, and he's not here so I can talk about him, I have for years been telling Kyle how important his role is as the firstborn in our family. How many of you are the firstborn in your family? Very, very important. You are a leader in your home among your siblings, whether you want to be one or not. You are a leader. Your brothers and sisters will follow you. And this is what I've told my oldest son. You're a leader. Your brothers and sisters will follow you regardless of whether you realize you are leading them or not. And you will one day stand before God and give an account for how you led your siblings. Not only that, but Satan has his target right on the firstborn, so that if he can take the firstborn down, he knows the rest of the children are that much easier to get. It's very important that as leaders, as parents, as Sunday school teachers, as having an influence on these young children that are growing up in a terrible world, that they need to see us praising God. They need to see us praising the Lord. They need to see us looking at the good things that God is doing, and he always is, and praising him for that. Those young kids back there, they need to see us. They need to hear us praising the Lord, regardless of our circumstances. Verse number 8, another reason to praise the Lord, because the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. We could all talk about every one of us about how gracious, how compassionate. Praise him that he is slow to anger and that he is of such great mercy. I was studying for this message last night and I remembered where I first learned this verse. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. And you can see this little Bible book. It's called the Bible Promise Book for Preschoolers. You can see it's got some age on it. It's about 18 years old. Every one of my children have been read to from this book. And it starts at an early age. And I marked it just so I could find it. But I still can see, you may not be able to see this, but I can still see the picture that is in here. And the comment is, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. How do you feel when you do something bad? God loves you very much, but he feels sad when he sees you do something bad. Tell him how sorry you are. Ask him to help you to do the right thing the next time. There's a picture of a little boy in overalls and there's a crayon in his hand and he's been drawing on the wall. You know why I remember this? Every one of my children have done what this young man has done. Every one of them have taken a crayon and drawn on the walls, and one of them was at 2570 Washburn Road, and I saw her pick up the crayon and draw on the wall myself after I had just painted it. But we need to praise the Lord because He is gracious. He is compassionate. Thank the Lord that He is slow to anger and of great mercy. Look at verses 9 through 12. The Lord is good to all. There's no one excluded. And His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee. Sounds like another good song, doesn't it, Doc? O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. You know, God is good to all of us. Again, we could go around the room and I could give the mic to each and every one of you, and you could talk about how you know personally how gracious and how good God is. And then we could go around the room again and again and again. And we could spend the rest of the day here just praising Him about how good He is. But here, you know, here's the problem. We've got to stop. I know you're busy. I'm busy. I know life is stressful. I know that there's so many things competing for our attention. The ruler of this world does not want us to stop and think and listen to the still small voice of God. So He keeps us just as busy as we possibly can be, so that we don't praise Him, so that we don't stop and count our blessings. Again, it sounds like another good song. Look at verse number 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We can praise Him because of heaven. I'm not really sure how unsaved people get through the day. I have a bad day. Things don't go my way. They seldom go as I have planned. But I rest in the fact that He is in control, and that, you know what? One day this will all be over. And looking back, it'll seem like but an instant. And heaven is forever. And we cannot even imagine the things that He's prepared for us. We can't even wrap our finite mind around the concept of what heaven truly is. Have you ever longed to go home? I've only longed to go home once in my entire life. I know I've got a home in heaven, and I know I've made reservations. I've let them know I'm coming, but I'm not homesick. And I don't know if that's right or wrong. But only one time in my entire life have I ever longed for heaven. And I know where I was. I was working for a trucking company in Charlotte. I was going to school and working full-time, and I was exhausted. And I was a supervisor. I had 6 or 7 people underneath me and a dock crew that reported to me. And it was nonstop chaos from the moment you hit the door until the moment the guy relieved you. It was just go, go, go. Lost about 25 pounds. That's the only good thing I can say about the job. And I remember one particular evening that all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but the driver room was empty. None of the dock workers, the foremen were not coming to see me. All of my clerical people were gone. And I looked around, and I was the only one there. Everyone was gone. It only happened once when I was there, and I thought, there's got to be something more than this. And there is. And we can praise Him that because we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there is something more than this. We have a home. Heaven, what a wonderful place. Look at verse number 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. You know, he gives us strength when we need it most. When we think we've reached the end of our rope, there's always a little bit more. When our focus is on him and not on our circumstances. When our focus is on all of the good things instead of focusing on the bad things. And again, it's our choice. He gives us the strength when we need it most. He doesn't always do it the way I would do it, because I would give me that strength before I needed it so that I would know it was there. But when we take that step of faith, it's not a blind leap. It's a step of faith in him and what he has said and what he has promised. And he does not let his children down. He gives us strength when we need it most. Verses 15 and 16 talk about that he provides us with our daily bread. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Listen, that concept doesn't resonate with us. We seldom have to worry about where our next meal is going to come from. Here, us, really praying for our daily bread? In Bible times, much of their waking hours was spent taking care of their daily bread, their daily needs. Food was a big deal. They couldn't just go down to the 7-Eleven and buy something. There were no vending machines. It was a little bit different back then. There was no refrigerator for you to come home to and raid late at night when everybody else is asleep. Because of his daily bread. I was going to make a crack on my teens and their eating habits, but they're not in here, so I'm just going to save it for later. Verse number 17, the Lord is righteous in all his works and holy in all his ways. We can praise him because he is righteous and holy. He always does what's right. He always makes the right choice for us. Verse number 18. Listen, we need to make a commitment to praise him. He's given us a multitude of reasons to praise him, and we need to keep those in our mind. And if we ever run out of things to praise him for, we just need to read this psalm again, the Praise the Lord psalm, and let him refresh our memory with all these things that we can praise him with. He wants us to praise him, and he rewards those that do. Look at verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him and to all that call upon him in truth. When we praise him, he rewards us with his presence. The Lord is nigh. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. He is as close as you want him to be. It's interesting that when we walk away from God, you would think that he would be back here where we walked away from him. When we left him, we would think that's where he is. We're the ones that are leaving, and we would expect him to be back there. But when we draw nigh unto him, he's right there. He's right here with us. How close do you want to be to God? The choice is yours. He rewards us with his presence when we praise him. He rewards us with answers to our prayers. Look at verse number 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Lord, thank you that I can even come to you and that you want to hear my prayers. Listen, sometimes he doesn't answer right away. What do? We keep praying. Newsflash, no is an answer. It is. Some of you know that I candidated at a church in Illinois at the same time that I was filling in over at the Mark Street campus. You didn't see me for about 6 weeks because I was either out of town or I was across town, and I wasn't here. I prayed very specifically because I wanted to know God's will. And he answered very specifically. They called me as their pastor. They extended a call. And I told them, the Lord said no. But you know what my response was when God told me no? Lord, really? Really? No is an answer. I'm looking forward to the day that the Lord says, yes. Yes, Brother Birchwell, yes. He rewards us with his protection. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Listen, he preserves us. He rewards us with his protection. When we get to heaven, we're going to see a few things I think that we missed when we were down here. And we're going to see how he worked in our lives, protecting us. I remember many years ago, when Alicia and I lived in Chicago, we were not saved. And I was following her home from work one day. She was in front of me. I was behind her, naturally, if I was following her. And I saw in my rearview mirror, I saw a car coming behind me, driving like a complete nut. Okay? So I slowed down. And I remember watching the car in front of me because I was very concerned, because I knew I was okay, and that was the next car, and I'm like, I wasn't saved at the time, but I probably said something like, Lord, please. And I watched my wife drive, and I'm like, what is she doing? Do you remember? What is she doing? She changed lanes, or the car moved, and this car that was just zipping by us zoomed right by us. We got home, we lived in Bolingbrook, and we talked about this guy because she saw him and I saw him, and she said, I don't know what happened. The car just changed lanes. I don't know. True? Not true. I don't know what happened. My son has told me several times I shouldn't even be here. Not me, him. And I'm like, I don't even want to know. Because the one time that I knew, that was enough for me. Ignorance is bliss. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see how he was in control of things, how he did orchestrate us moving around, even in our day-to-day, hour-by-hour existence here on earth. He was intimately involved. But you know what? No matter what he does or what he doesn't do, no matter what, I will praise him. Look at verse number 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. No matter what he does, I will praise him. Sounds like another good song, doesn't it? Listen, God commands us to praise him. Look at Psalm 148. It's on the same page in my book. Look at verses 12 and 13. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Even young people should be praising the Lord. Older people should be praising the Lord. Married people, single people, children, adults, parents, Sunday school teachers, pastors should be praising the Lord. Make a commitment. Make a commitment. Don't let your circumstances keep you from praising the Lord. If you forget, reread the Praise the Lord Psalm and let him speak to your heart about praising him. Imagine David as a young shepherd boy, out far away from Bethlehem, out there tending his sheep in the wilderness. He carries a sling, he carries his harp, he composes music, and he writes words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that are now preserved for us in the psalm. He praises God. And you know what? God hears him. And God marks him for greatness because he is praising the Lord. Listen, we have such an opportunity to make and illustrate a contrast between us and our unsaved world, because our culture, our society, our world is one of selfishness. It's one of self-centeredness. It's one of ungratefulness. It's one of complaining and belly aching. But God still notices the man, the woman, the child that chooses to praise him and is unashamed about doing it. Everyone should make a lifetime commitment to praising him today, every day, in every way, for the rest of our ways. Let us praise him. Praise him with your lips. But more importantly,